Hazur says that the translation of these verses is, and they swear by Allah the strongest oath, that if you command them, they will surely go forth. Say, swear not. What is required is actual obedience in what is right. Surely Allah is well aware of what you do. Say, obey Allah and obey the Messenger. But if you turn away, then upon him is his burden, and upon you is your burden. And if you obey him, you will be rightly guided. And the Messenger is not responsible but for the plain delivery of the message. Allah has promised to those among you who believe and do good works that He will surely make them successors in the earth, as He made successors from among those who were before them, and that He will surely establish for them their religion, which He has chosen for them, and that He will surely give them in exchange security and peace after their fear. They will worship Me, and they will not associate anything with Me. Then whoso is ungrateful after that, they will be the rebellious. And observe prayer, and give the zakat, and obey the Messenger, that you may be shown mercy. These verses that I have recited, amongst these verses is the verse that you are aware of. You have heard the translation. It is called Ayat-e-Istikhlaf. That is that verse in which the believers have been promised by Allah of Khilafat. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in various of his books, has provided the commentary of this verse. And whilst providing the commentary of this verse, he has also explained its different aspects and shed light upon it. However, in one of his short books or pamphlets called Al-Wasiyat or the Will, in this reference, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is spoken about how after his demise in Jamaat Ahmadiyya, the system of Khilafat would be established. He provided this glad tiding. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, wrote this book in December 1905, in which he speaks about taqwa, righteousness and the fear of Allah, tawheed, the oneness of Allah, his own station and Khilafat, as well as the means of attaining nearness to Allah, and also how to make the Jamaat remain on firm foundations, and in order to continue financial sacrifices occurring, he presented this system and scheme of Wasiyat. This scheme in reality, with regards to Hakukullah and Hakukul Abad, the rights owed to God and the rights owed to man. This is such a scheme in this reference, in comparison to which all other economical systems are simply insignificant. This is because those schemes are bereft of taqwa, righteousness and the fear of Allah, or they are only confined or in the control of just a few people. Anyhow, the explanation and the details of all of this are manifold. But at this time, I will present some of what the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said in this book. This system of Wasiyat, as I mentioned, it has been established since the book was written in 1905. However, with reference to Ayat-e-Istikhlaf, the issue that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has mentioned in this book, in other words, Khilafat-e-Ahmadiyyat. Khilafat-e-Ahmadiyyat, 3 years after this booklet was written, 103 years before today, after the demise of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, on today, 27th May 1908, this system of Khilafat was established, And this system of Khilafat is such a system which after 1400 years of desolation and deprivation was bestowed by Allah the Almighty. But before I put the words of the Promised Messiah before you, before I present his extracts, I shall provide a short and brief explanation of these verses. So that the relevant commandments of the Holy Quran relating to Khilafat are also kept in view. In these verses, for those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and for those who take the bayt, the pledge of allegiance of the Khulafa, a complete code of conduct has been set forth. And first of all, and most fundamental, what has been stated is this: that what obedience is and what its real standard is. The standard or the required level of obedience is not that you just take oath that when the time comes, we will fight against the enemy in every way possible. Merely taking oaths are not useful until in every single matter we do not display complete and perfect obedience, there will be no use. If you display complete and perfect obedience, it will only then be considered that this claim of yours, that we are ready to sacrifice ourselves in every way possible, that they will be considered as a real claim. If you do not adhere to those commandments, and if you do not strive to implement those instructions which Allah and His Messenger have provided, then many a times lofty and tall claims are proved meaningless. So therefore, the actual and real thing in this slide is the demonstration of complete and perfect obedience. If this obedience is not demonstrated practically and in apparent small or minor matters, this practical demonstration does not exist, then those claims are useless. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, that surely Allah is well aware of what you do. By saying this, Allah the Almighty has made it explicitly clear that you can deceive humans. But Allah the Almighty, who is well aware of every single thing, every hidden and every apparent act is before Him. For this reason, He cannot be deceived. So therefore, you should always keep in view that Allah the Almighty is watching us at every single moment, and a true believer, he always keeps this very fact in view. And when a person becomes firm in his belief in this fact, that Allah the Almighty is watching us, so then mere oaths do not only remain, but in fact, according to the norm, the obedience is displayed. And every good decision is obeyed with complete obedience. To fulfill and to obey Allah and His Messenger, a person remains eager and keen, and he makes efforts in this regard. Along with Atiyu Allah wa Atiyu Rasul, that is, obey Allah and obey His Messenger, is the injunction Ulil Amri Minkum, that is, you must obey the Emir, the Nizam-e-Jamaat, and also the Khalifa of the time. Obeying all of these people becomes necessary. Then to those people who do not display perfect obedience, those who act according to their own will, Allah the Almighty says, that this disobedience of these commandments and this turning away and going astray, the sin of it, the burden of it, it will be upon you, and you will be questioned regarding it. The Messenger will not be asked about this. That is, the Messenger will not be questioned about this sin. The responsibility of this is not upon Allah's Messenger. The commandments of the Sharia, the Messenger of Allah has conveyed that. Then, in the obedience and the following of the Prophet, the Khalifa of the time, has conveyed the commandments of the Messenger. Therefore, those who admonish and counsel, those who convey the commands of the Sharia, have fulfilled and performed their task. By not implementing those commands, or those who do not implement these commands must answer for their actions. When I have linked the issue of Khilafat with the Messenger, because I have mentioned that it says in the Holy Quran, "Ulil amri minkum," that obey those in authority among you. Secondly, the Khilafat al-Rashida, the rightly guided Khilafat, it exists to further the work of the Messenger. And the Khilafat is in fact a continuation of Nubuwwat or Prophethood. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, once admonishing stated that follow my sunnat or practice, and then follow the practice of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, the rightly guided Khulafa. The reason why the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated this was because the Khulafa furthered the instructions, the sunnat, the practice, and the law of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. The entire hadith reads as follows. Hadrat Abdurrahman bin Amr, may Allah be pleased with him, says that he heard this from Al-Baz bin Sari, may Allah be pleased with him, that once the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, delivered such an impressive sermon, because of which the eyes filled with tears and the hearts trembled. We said, O Messenger of Allah, this counsel you have given is as if somebody is departing. Provide us with a guidance that will allow us to remain on the straight path. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied that I am leaving you on an illuminated and bright path in which the nights are like days. Apart from wretched and malevolent people, nobody can go astray from that path. In other words, these are very clear paths, and whoever remains alive from among you will see great differences. But here it is said that despite these clear paths, differences will arise. In such circumstances, you should follow my recognized sunnat, or path, or way. You should follow my recognized sunnat, or way, and also those who are rightly guided. Make obedience your guiding principle, even if an Ethiopian slave is appointed as your emir or leader. Firmly grasp onto this faith. The example of a believer is like a camel with a bridle. Wherever you take it, it will go. And such a camel habitually obeys. So therefore, Allah the Almighty states that this obedience, this submission is necessary for you. And if you obey, وَإِن تُطِيُوهُ تَحْتَدُوا, that if you obey, then you will be rightly guided. And you will continuously attain guidance. After this, Allah the Almighty has given guidance regarding Khilafat, which is included in this ayat al-Istikhlaf. Allah the Almighty states, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that Allah has promised to those among you who believe and those who perform amal al-saliha, that is righteous deeds. The standard of faith and amal al-saliha, righteous deeds, were mentioned in the previous verse. That completely immerse yourself in obedience and submission, only then can you be deemed a true believer. That is, take on completely obedience. It is only then that you will surge towards performing righteous deeds. And when you acquire or attain such a level, then you will attain the blessings of Khilafat. Otherwise, you will not. Allah the Almighty has not stated that unquestionably Khilafat will remain amongst the Muslims. Rather, He has delivered a promise, which is attached to various conditions. And the first and foremost condition is this, that there should be complete and perfect obedience and submission. The sequence of the first Khilafat-e-Rashida, the rightly guided Khulafa, that sequence broke when Muslims left the fold of obedience. The Muslims were deprived of rightly guided Khilafat when they left obeying. And leaving obedience, certain groups started saying the following: that we do the bet, the Pledge of Allegiance, with certain conditions. And a major or significant reason for this was that they wanted to take revenge upon the martyrdom of Hazrat Usman. Or some people came under the influence of those who wanted to cause revolt, and therefore they left obeying. Despite the fact that at that time companions were present. But when they left obeying perfectly, then they were deprived of Khilafat. And because the decision of who to make the Khalifa was taken in the hands of Allah Himself. For this reason, after these differences, after they started disobeying, all the efforts to establish a Khalifa or to make a Khalifa failed. And instead, Khilafa took the shape of kingship. When Allah the Almighty has said that just as the system of Khilafat was established by Allah before, Allah the Almighty will establish it once again. So previously, Allah the Almighty established the system of Khilafat as prophethood. And Allah the Almighty sends the Prophet Himself. But now because the Shariat is finalized and perfected, and because the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the final law-bearing prophet until the day of resurrection, for this reason, Khilafat-i-Rashida, rightly guided Khulafa, was established. Although apparently the Khalifa is selected by the hands of people. However, through his living testimony and through his life succor, Allah the Almighty has chosen his preferred person as the Khalifa. But because Allah the Almighty has ordained the final domination and victory through Islam, this is why He has also provided the prophecy that in the servitude of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, a prophet will be sent. The details of this are mentioned in وَآخَرِينَ مِنْهُمْ لَمْهَا يَلْحَقُوا بِهِمْ. And the explanation of this was given by the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, himself. That between me and the Messiah, there will be no prophet. So therefore, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is the Messiah and the Mahdi. And he is also a Nabi, a prophet, and he is also the Khatamul Khulafa. After 1400 years, Allah the Almighty has fulfilled his promise with the believers, and in order to fulfill that promise, he sent this Khalifa once again. And because he was a follower of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, he acquired the honor of prophethood, and he became the means of Khilafat becoming established once again. Then Allah the Almighty said that although unquestionably the religion of Islam has been preferred for you by Allah, however, despite this, to attain its true beneficence, and in order to transform that fear into peace and security, with perfect and complete obedience and submission, with the system of Khilafat, you should attach and bond with it. This is the only way you can attain it. And this is completely necessary. And whoever remains bonded with this system of Khilafat, Allah the Almighty, in His favor and through this, every fear will transform into peace and security. And it is through them alone, that is through the Khulafa, that the days of the victory of Islam will draw nearer and nearer. However, here it has also been stated that the Khalifa of the time and those who bond with the Khilafat, it is their responsibility and task. And this is a significant responsibility placed upon them. That they should be those who draw their attention towards purely worshipping Allah. There is the observation of prayer. And then there is establishment of pure Tawheed, unity of Allah. And the efforts in this way will enable them to attain the beneficence and blessings of Khilafat continuously. And Allah the Almighty will listen to their prayers. And Allah the Almighty will remove their worries and concerns. And He will provide them with His blessings and rewards. However, whoever sees all of this and still does not attach himself with this true and right Khilafat, that person, it is said, is disobedient. And they will receive the punishment for this disobedience. They will be deprived of those rewards and blessings that are promised with the believers. I often say, look at the Muslims generally today. They are immersed in concerns and anxieties, and coming under the influence and suppression of the non-Ahmadis, they have become so frustrated that in order to kill other Muslims, Muslims themselves seek help from non-Muslims. May Allah the Almighty grant the ability of the Muslim community to recognize the truth. Then the latter verse in this sequence that I have read out, again, this draws one's attention towards three points, that is, the establishment of prayer, the giving of zakat, and also perfect or complete obedience. And this should be done so that Allah can have mercy on us and continue to provide His blessings and reward. So thus, Allah the Almighty, now through the promised Messiah, peace be upon Him, that sequence of blessings and reward that He started and established, in order to seek beneficence and to benefit from that, every Ahmadi must keep that instruction of Allah in view. That Allah's promise is with those who display perfect and complete obedience. Those people who always keep the worship of Allah in view. Only He displays perfect obedience, who always remembers Allah, and who always at every moment worships Allah. The best means of worship that has been explained to us is the offering of prayer. So therefore, only He can become a true member of the Divine Jamaat who makes great efforts to offer prayers. An excellent and outstanding exposition of the offering of prayers has been given by Hazrat Muslim of the second Khalifa. He says, an excellent part of prayer is Jummah, the Friday prayer, where the Imam delivers a khutbah or a sermon and he provides guidance and admonishment. And the Khalifa of the time, taking into account the circumstances of the world and the various needs and requirements that rise up from time to time of nations, according to that, the Khalifa provides admonishment. Because of this, unity between nations is formed. And he ensures that everyone walks in the same direction. Today we see that the real picture, the real example of this is before us, and this is visible within Jamaat Ahmadiyya, where the khutbah or the sermon of the Khalifa at exactly the same time is heard and seen in the corners of the world. And according to the temperament of different people and according to various requirements, the Khalifa delivers a sermon. When I deliver the sermon, or when I write notes for the sermon, I do not only keep in view those sitting before me. In fact, what I try to do is that I keep in view the reports from different countries of the world, and keeping that in view, I sometimes give greater emphasis to the circumstances of Europe, sometimes I give more emphasis to a certain country in Asia, or according to the circumstances of that country, or generally about Asia. Sometimes it is more about Africa, and at other times about the islands. But anyhow, because Islam is a universal religion, so for this reason, every single thing that is being stated in the sermons, it relates to the people of every country and every group, and it becomes a guidance for Ahmadis of every area. Whatever guidance is being given, there are aspects within them which are relevant to everybody. After the khutbah, the sermon, I received letters from people of different countries. The local people of Russia even write me letters, as do the residents of Africa. And in the same way, people of different countries also write me letters. And they expressed the following in the letter, that it seemed as if this khutbah, this sermon, was delivered in particular for us. Nonetheless, this is also an explanation of Iqamatul Salah, which through Khilafat is now established today in Jamaat Ahmadiyya. In this verse, then there is the giving of zakat, or the purification of wealth. This includes zakat and also other financial sacrifices. We see that today as well, it is only through Jamaat Ahmadiyya that this system is established. And according to the guidance of the Khalifa, through the system of Janda, in the entire world, the members of the Jamaat, as well as various Jamaats, their requirements are being fulfilled. If there is any shortage of wealth or anything else in any country, then through the help of another country, that shortage is overcome. If there is greater financial affluence in a certain country, then they fulfill the shortage of the poor country's requirements, for example, the construction of mosques or the dissipation of literature. That is fulfilled through the affluent country. So this is a system that is running under the guidance of the Khalifa. In some place, the requirement of poor people is being fulfilled. In another place, medical requirements are being met. In yet some other place, educational requirements are being looked after. Whilst in some other place, the requirements of propagating the faith are being met by the system, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, where he has linked the system of Wasiyat with the system of Khilafat. So he has also mentioned within this the fulfilling of all these requirements. And then those people who offer Janda, they, because of the system of Khilafat, they are firm in this belief that this Janda would not be wasted on worthless endeavors. In fact, it will be used for some pious purpose. In fact, even non-Ahmadi people, they are confident and they believe that if we give zakat to Ahmadis, then it will be used properly. In Ghana, quite a few people would give me the zakat on their crops and say that you would use it properly. So then, we would deposit this zakat. Many landlords who I was acquainted with, they would give me the zakat and say, deposit it for us. These people would say that if we give the zakat to our mulvis, if we give it to our imams, then they would use it themselves and not utilize it properly. Even today, from various places, from various jamaats, I receive letters that non-Ahmadi members, they want to give zakat or sadqa to us. So what is the guidance regarding this? So, with respect to sadqa and zakat, Jamaat can take this from non-Ahmadis and does take it. But with regard to other obligatory and optional chandas, they are only taken from Ahmadis. But anyhow, the system of zakat as well, that is also linked with the system of Khilafat. At the end of this verse, once again, the subject of obedience has been mentioned. So therefore, the real relationship with Allah and His Messenger, and the outcome of this, which is the relationship with Khilafat. So the central point of this is perfect and complete obedience. When this is displayed, then a believer will continuously be the benefactor of rewards and blessings. Now, I will state some things with regard to the booklet Al-Wasiyat, or the Will. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, mentioning that promise of Allah, and he also announces that prophecy. that here there is a prophecy and a promise that his death is near. That is, there is a prophecy that Allah had told him that the appointed time of his death had come close, and he was also informed that although his time of death was near. However, Allah the Almighty said that all such allegations and objections, we would remove them and we would defend them through which there was any possibility of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, being disgraced or defamed. And Allah said, I would be pleased with you in the end. Allah says further that open and manifest signs would remain forever in your favor and support. So the world saw that those who wanted to defame and disgrace the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, they were disgraced themselves. Their name and no sign of them remained from the world. They were totally effaced. No one was left to remember them. Those who abused, those who raised allegations, they have vanished. But the Jamaat of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, continues to spread in the entire world. The long sequence of signs in his favor began in the life of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and still continues today. The hundreds of thousands of births, the initiations into the community that occur each year. Often these initiations occur through people receiving guidance from Allah. This is amongst one of the signs of succor of Allah. So these are signs of help of Allah, and these are proof of the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, says that God's word informs me that many calamities will occur and many disasters will descend on the earth, some during my lifetime and some after I have gone. And God will promote and advance this Jamaat to the full. A part of it will happen at my hands and some after me. Hazur says that we are seeing this promise being fulfilled today. We are seeing this prophecy still being fulfilled today. The frequency of calamities has increased and is increasing on a daily basis in the news. We see that one country or the other is hit by natural disaster. One country or the other becomes the sign of a natural disaster. Regarding these calamities, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had also prophesied that these would occur. Are all of these things not sufficient for those with wisdom? They should ponder, they should think that a claimant was informed by Allah about all of this and he announced that calamities and earthquakes would occur in this and this manner in the future. And today we see that calamities of every single kind have immersed the entire world. So should they not ponder on what this chosen one of Allah has said? This is what those people should do who oppose the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. Then this is something of particular concern and something they should think of, who are always engaged in opposing Jamaat Ahmadiyya, that despite all their efforts, every step of the Jamaat and every moment is always towards progress. Can this be the work of any human? That it can progress and advance in this manner and have such an impression on people's hearts. It is Allah alone who draws people's hearts towards the Imam of this time. How long will these people keep fighting against Allah? Apart from destroying their life in this world and the next, they will not attain anything. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said very explicitly about this, that your eyes could decay and your nose could entirely decay. Even then you cannot corrupt anything of mine and your prayers would not be accepted. The promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that this is the way of God. Ever since he created man on earth, he has always been demonstrating this divine practice, that he helps his prophets and his messengers, and he grants them success and predominance, as Allah states, قَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِهِ. Here predominance is men, that just as messengers and prophets desire that God's hujjat or argument is established in the entirety of the world, and that no one is able to oppose it. In turn, does God demonstrate with powerful signs their truthfulness. And with regard to the truth that they wish to spread in the entirety of the world, He lets them sow the seed of this truth. But He does not let that truth or that seed come to full fruit at their hands. Rather, He causes them to die at such a time which apparently forebodes a kind of failure. This provides an opportunity for the opponents to laugh at, ridicule, taunt, and reproach the prophets. And after they have filled their mockery and ridicule, God reveals yet another dimension of His might, and He creates such means by which the objectives which had to some extent remained incomplete, they are fully realized. Then, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, later on in this booklet, he speaks about the second manifestation of Allah, that a second time, Allah the Almighty manifested His amazing might and power. Hazur says that today, the history of Jamaat Ahmadiyya testifies that the promise made by Allah the Almighty, the prophecy given by Allah, which was announced through the Imam of this time, at every moment and every single day, this is fulfilled in a new splendor and new glory. Whether this relates to Khilafat Ula, the era of the first Khilafat, in which, apart from external opposition, also internal rife started to rise up, or whether this relates to the era of Khilafat Thaniya, the second Khilafat, from the election of the second Khalifa until almost the end, that is, this entire era of the second Khilafat, various internal conflicts started to raise its head, and a part of the Jamaat even separated. Then, external opposition also took the form of ferocious opposition, but the progress of the Jamaat was not hindered whatsoever. Then, the era of the third Khilafat, the ferocity and the intensity of its external opposition rose its head, and internal opposition was also witnessed. However, the Jamaat kept on progressing and advancing. So therefore, with the grace of Almighty Allah, the Jamaat always progresses. Then the era of Khilafat Rabia, the fourth Khilafat came, and the enemies made such plans and such attacks through which they believed that they had made such a firm move to end the Jamaat that we could not be saved. But then, the words of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, they were fulfilled once again, most splendidly, that Allah once again, a second time, displays His amazing and powerful might. And this exactly happened. And that amazing manifestation of His power completely eliminated and pulverized the enemies. Then there is the era of Khilafat Khamisa, the fifth Khilafat. In this era as well, burning jealousy and the intensity of the opposition reached its climax. Weak and unarmed Ahmadis were attacked in a most barbaric and cruel manner. Such bloodshed was wrought. Seeing this, it was difficult to distinguish whether this was the work of humans or a creation even worse than animals. Then, internally within the Jamaat, trying to portray themselves as sympathetic and compassionate to the Jamaat, some people tried in various places to cause conflicts internally, but according to the promise of Allah, the Khilafat, supported by Allah, its amazing manifestation is competing and challenging it, and it continues to do so. In fact, Allah is competing against it. I am a weak and humble person. I have no standing of my own. However, Khilafat Ahmadiyyat, it has the support and help of that Lord who is a possessor and master of all powers. And it is Allah who promised the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that I would display an amazing manifestation of my might. And he is displaying this, and he will continue to do so. The enemy, in their deception, in their schemes, in their plannings, they will always continue to be frustrated and defeated, and they are doing so. In order to present the books of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, completely out of context, the enemy are nowadays using the electronic media. They use these various means, such as the internet, etc. So, under the guidance of Khilafat, in every country of the world, Allah the Almighty has prepared such an army of youngsters to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that are playing the role of Hazrat Talha. And they stand right up before the enemy. In fact, they are giving such replies that spontaneously the hamd of Allah, the praise of Allah, embeds in the heart. And the faith and belief in his statements increases further. For the continuation of the second manifestation, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, peace be upon him, reassuring us, he says further, "So dear friends, since it is the Sunnatullah, the way of Allah from time immemorial, that God Almighty shows two manifestations, so that the two false joys of the opponents can be put to an end. So therefore it is impossible now that God should relinquish his way of old. So do not grieve over what I have said to you." Hazrat says, in other words, the news of the promised Messiah's impending demise. So he continues, that "do not worry, for it is essential for you to witness the second manifestation also, and its coming is better for you, because it is everlasting, and its continuation will not end until the day of judgment. And that second manifestation cannot come unless I depart. But when I depart, God will send that second manifestation for you, which will always stay with you, just as promised by God in Barahine Ahmadiyya. And this promise is not for my own person, rather the promise is with reference to you, as God says, addressing me, that I shall make this Jamaat, who are your followers, prevail over all others until the day of judgment. Therefore, it is inevitable that you see the day of my departure, so that after that day, the day comes which is a day of everlasting promise. Our God is He who keeps His promise and is faithful and is the truthful Lord. He shall show you all that He has promised. Though these days are the last days of this world, and there are many a disaster waiting to happen, yet it is necessary that this world continues to exist until all those things about which God has prophesied come to pass. So therefore the promise of Khilafat Ahmadiyya is everlasting, and it is for those who come to the future, those who remain attached to the system of Khilafat, those who keep on demonstrating the perfect and complete obedience, and those who have a bond of sincerity and loyalty with Khilafat, such people will continue to see the promises of Allah be fulfilled. The enemies and immoral people, their eyes are closed. Those people who do not witness and see the signs of Allah being fulfilled, with the grace of Almighty Allah at every single moment, we see the demonstration of Allah's manifestation and might being displayed. And the promise Allah made to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, with respect to us, we see that in a new splendor every single day. The enemy's injustices and cruelties, and the enemy's attacking unarmed people with weapons, this proves that the enemy are not able to argue with us with arguments and logic. And the arguments and logic of Jamaat Ahmadiyya, through it, people are becoming speechless. And this is also a proof of Allah's promise being fulfilled. That He said that those who are your followers, I will give them predominance over others until the day of judgment. This predominance is through those arguments which no enemy has the courage to rebut, to respond to. Then, mentioning the Khilafat Ahmadiyya, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, refers once again to the second manifestation and the means of ensuring it remains established. He says that I have come from God as a manifestation of divine providence, and I am a personification of his power. After I am gone, there will be some other persons who will be this manifestation of the second power of God. So while waiting for the second manifestation of his power, you all together keep yourselves busy praying, and let a jamaat of righteous people, all of them in every country, keep themselves busy in prayers, so that the second manifestation may descend from the heaven and show you that your God is such a mighty God. Consider your death to be close at hand, for you never know when that hour will strike. Let the righteous persons of the jamaat, who are pure souls, accept bid in my name after me. God Almighty desires to draw all those who live in various habitations of the world, be it Europe or Asia, all of those who have virtuous nature, to draw them to the unity of God, and to unite his servants under one faith. This indeed is the purpose of God, for which I have been sent to the world. So you too, therefore, pursue this end, but with kindness, moral probity, and fervent prayers. And until that time when someone inspired by God with the Holy Spirit is raised by him, all of you should work in harmony with one another. Hazur says that here it mentions that after the promised Messiah's demise, until the election of the next Khalifa, and until after that the election of the next Khalifa, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has instructed that this is the middle period. Do not become corrupted in this period, that is, this era of just one or two days between the election of one Khalifa and the other. That is, this is what you should do if you want to attain the beneficence of that second manifestation of God's power. So remain united in this period. Pray and elect the Khalifa. So there should be no misunderstanding by this, that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that the senior or holy people of the Jamaat, they should get together and take the bid from me. That Khilafat is not related to one person, but in fact it is related to a collection of people. Considering this, the non-Mubayin, those who did not accept Khilafat, they considered the Anjuman as superior, whereas the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has explained this clearly in the footnote, that such persons will be selected by the consensus of the believers. He says that such persons will be selected by the consensus of the believers. Then it says, hence, if that person, Hazur says, again, it mentions one person here. It says, if 40 believers agree that a person is competent to accept bayt in my name, he will be entitled to accept bayt. Hazur says here, it is not mentioned in the plural. It says that one person will take the bayt. So it continues, and such a person ought to make himself an example for others. Hazur says here, it does not mention anywhere that the Anjuman will be the example for others. It says that one person would be the example for others. So wherever the plural has been used here by the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, it does not refer to the Anjuman. In fact, it refers to the Khulafa, that is the many Khalifas that would come in the future, that they would take the bet, the pledge of allegiance. Keeping this principle in view, in the system of the Jamaat, for the election of the Khilafat, an electoral college has been established. And according to that, after the Khilafat Isaniya, the second Khilafat, until today, the election of the Khalifa takes place according to that. Now if the question raises that what is the proof that this election of the Khalifa is a decision of Allah, then the living testimony of Allah and his fresh succor and help, and also the dreams that are shown to members of the Jamaat by Allah, all of these things are enough. Then there is following the instructions of the Khalifa and following it with their heart, and how Allah turns the hearts of the people towards the Khalifa. All of these things prove that this is from Allah. In this regard, I have given examples previously as well, that what the efforts of the enemies have been. But despite this, how the amazing manifestation of Allah, the signs it displayed, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, in his booklet, he provides further guidance when he says the following: and you too should partake of the Holy Spirit by compassion and by purifying your souls. Because without the Holy Spirit, true taqwa, that is righteousness and the fear of Allah, cannot be attained. And totally shedding all base desires of the self, choose for the sake of winning the pleasure of God that path, compared to which no path can be narrower and straighter. Do not fall in love with the pleasures of the world, for they take you away from God. Choose a life of austerity for the sake of God. The pain which pleases God is better than the pleasure which makes him angry. And the defeat which pleases God is better than that victory which invites the wrath of Allah. Renounce the love which brings you nearer to the wrath of Allah. If by purifying your heart you come to him, he will be your help whichever path you tread, and no enemy shall ever be able to harm you. You can never ever win the pleasure of Allah unless you, relinquishing your desires, abandoning your pleasures, sacrificing your honor, disowning your wealth and discarding your life, bear such hardships in his way as make you suffer the pangs of death. But once you suffer such hardship, you will sit in the lap of God like a beloved child, and you will be made heirs of the truthful who have preceded you. The door of every blessing will be open to you. Then the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, states that do not think that God will let you go to waste. For you are the seed which the hand of God has sown in the earth. God says that this seed will grow and flower, and its branches will spread in every direction, and it will become a huge tree. So blessed is the one who believes in what God says and does not fear the trials which he suffers in his path. For the coming of trials is essential so that God may try you to see who is true in his declaration of birth, initiation, and who is false. Whoever falters in the face of a trial would do no harm to God whatsoever, and ill luck would only land him in hell. Were he not born, it would have been better for him. But all those who remain steadfast until the end, they will be shaken with the quakes of calamities and battered with the storms of misfortune, ridiculed and mocked by people, and hated and reviled by the world, but they shall come out at last victorious, and the door of blessing shall be thrown open for them. God addressed me and said that I should inform my Jamaat that those who believe such belief that is not corrupted with worldly considerations, and such belief that is free from hypocrisy and cowardice, and such belief that is not found wanting at any stage of obedience, such people are the favorites of God, and God says that they indeed are those whose station is that of truth. Hazur says that with the grace of Almighty Allah, today in every corner and every country of the world where there is Jamaat Ahmadiyya, the level of sacrifice is increasing. And by the grace of Almighty Allah, the promises that were with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, from Allah, we are seeing those come true. With such courage, with such passion for sacrifice, and with such boldness, are Ahmadis both giving sacrifices of their lives and also financial sacrifices. However, these extracts of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, there are warnings within them as well as glad tidings. And these he left behind with those who are attached to Khilafat and the Jamaat. So therefore, it is the responsibility of every single one of us that to partake of these glad tidings. And in order to seek beneficence from the promises of Allah, and in order to embed the greatness of Allah within our hearts, we must practically demonstrate the unity of Allah, his Tawheed. We must show true compassion and sympathy with mankind. We must purify our hearts of any grudges or rancor. We must tread every path of piety and righteousness. We must protect and safeguard our faith. We must display complete and perfect obedience and submission. We must go on progressing in our faith so that we can be counted amongst those who take steps of righteousness by Allah, and so that we can seek beneficence from the promises of Allah. At the end of this booklet, Al-Wasiyat, or the Will, with regard to those people who are very righteous, who strengthen their faith, to those who made great efforts to attain the highest and loftiest station and level, and who became part of that financial system, that is, that financial system that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, established himself and announced. that you should give your income and properties by way of inheritance, which will be spent for the progress of Islam, for the publication of the Quran and religious books. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said that amongst this wealth, that apart from this expenditure, this would also be spent on orphans, on the needy, and also non-Muslims, who do not have adequate means. The Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, said, I firmly believe that this wealth would be accumulated and this work would come to pass, because this is a promise of that God who is the master of the heavens and the earth. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, for those people who partake in this scheme oversee it, and who financially will support the religion and the creation. He prayed for them and said, O my mighty and benevolent God, O forgiving and merciful Lord. Hazur says, this is only for those people who do the Basiyat. That is, those who will be buried in Baheshti Maqbara. So he continues that, O forgiving and merciful Lord, only grant those people places for graves here who have true faith in this messenger of yours, and who have no trace of hypocrisy, selfish motives, and of doubt or suspicion in their hearts. And as faith and obedience deserve to be followed and observed, they follow and observe it for your sake. Hazur says, those people who are part of the system of Basiyat, their faith, their obedience, and their level of sacrifices, they should always continue going further and strengthening. They have made a pledge. After you do Basiyat, you need to make even greater efforts than before to increase your taqwa, your righteousness, and the fear of Allah. Your loyalty and devotion to Khilafat should also be greater than before. May Allah the Almighty grant every single Ahmadi the ability to keep on progressing and advancing in this regard. And may also every single Ahmadi keep on benefiting from those promises of reward that are attached with Khilafat, so that this system can always remain established, and so we can keep on attaining beneficence from it.